Australian Articles, Chapter 12, The GAN, Great Train Journey of Australia. From the get-go, the anticipation about the journey on the GAN train was a reflection of the importance of this part of the trip. Not that we were great train enthusiasts, on the contrary, nothing could be further from the truth. Despite residing only 15 minutes from the famous cantilever Fourth Rail Bridge, a couple of hours from the infamous Harry Potter Glenfinnan Viaduct, and a short drive from the author of Trainspotters, there is no way we might be classified as enthusiasts. But there was something about the prospect of an overnight train journey through the outback that brought out the romantic in me, and I think the promise of romance in any form is not to be sniffed at when you're this age. The railway line that links the south of Australia, Adelaide, with the north, Darwin, has taken many years to complete. In 1929, the Adelaide to Alice Springs stretch was completed, but it would be 1980 before it was completed to Darwin. Katherine, a town just south of Darwin, did have its own line linking it with the city in the north. But the railway line that completed the journey from Alice Springs was a long time in the planning and completion. Having visited the terrain there, it is easy to see why it might take some time, or indeed some enthusiasm. The GAN journey takes 54 hours, travelling a total of 2,979 kilometres. Not all of the journey is confined to the train. For the tourists booked on it, there are stopovers in Alice Springs for 4 hours and 3 hours in Katherine to enable you to explore the precious landmarks en route to Darwin. The name the GAN is disputed, but thought to be a shortened version of the Afghan Express. This story is predicated on the first passenger to make the long journey to Darwin, who was allegedly an Afghan. The popularity of the train journey when it first launched was not entirely reached. Many thought the whole prospect of travel by train to the north was a bit of a waste of their time. Delays were often caused through track washouts. Others believed the GAN was so called after camels imported from there, who would take travellers onward from Alice Springs long before the track was completed. Whichever story you prefer, the GAN creates a majesty, a mystery, and the promise of a journey of a lifetime, should you choose to do it. I won't lie, the scenery along the way is monotonous and bland. The only added interest are the termite hills and how innovative their design, shape, and colours were. Other than that, it's all desert. We were boarding the GAN from Alice Springs at 17:30. The train station was buzzing with excited travellers, while train staff offered us complimentary drinks of the non-alcoholic variety. A solo artist was paid to strum his guitar, covering Passenger and Ed Sheeran songs, as he hopelessly tried to drown out the constant shrill of excited chatter from eager passengers. The GAN was privatised in 1997, and the company who operate the GAN, Journey Beyond Rail Expeditions, meet and greet you in the Alice Springs train station. Their navy blue trousers, bush hats, a blue, cream and burgundy striped shirts, smartly identifying them among the colourful characters waiting to travel. Dining times and room numbers are allocated, and we wandered outside to survey the GAN in the metal. There are two locomotives providing a hefty 132-ton pulling power, bright red in colour. It stands aloof, nonchalantly waiting for things to get going. Coming along behind are just a few Annie and Clarabelles. Thomas the Tank Engine fans, I apologise. 38 carriages in shiny stainless steel make the average length of this train about 774 metres long. Doubtless, it would be a bit much for Thomas or even Big Gordon to pull. There was a constant stream of people walking back and forth along its lengthy carriages, dwarfed like ants against this huge monster, diminished even further by the lack of a platform. Every passenger was keen to have a photographic memory of the giant locomotive pulling them north to Darwin. we noticed one of these hopefuls limping along with a walking stick. Halting 2 metres from the front, he appeared to turn back, exhausted by the sheer length and searing heat. I sympathised with him, given my experience with the hamstring injury, so I stopped to talk to him. Having established he was trying to get the obligatory picture of the GAN, I introduced him to the delights of airdrop and shared mine with an ecstatic new German friend. Suddenly the bell tolled and automatically all 38 carriage doors swung open and an access frenzy began. A steel stepladder had been slotted into position, easing our entry and standing astride the pavement, and the ladder was our carriage host. The parrot was ours, a tall, slim young man with a warm welcome and a nervous smile. Our room, J2, was near the entrance, and he directed us to wait in our cabin until he arrived before we left. We got our first glimpse of inside the train as we navigated the narrow walkway almost sideways as we searched for our cabin. At first sight, it's hard to imagine how James Bond fought so violently with Jaws in the train scene from The Spy Who Loved Me when you consider the actual size of the room. A comfortable bench seat covered in pale green embossed fabric backed onto a walnut fascia, concealing the top bunk that would later be our sleeping arrangements. There was approximately 2 feet between the seat and the facing wall that neatly contained a mirror, a wardrobe complete with safe, a refuse bin, and a door leading to the all-important ensuite. Within this little cubicle were an array of high-quality shower gels, shampoos and conditioner to use with the shower. A shower curtain fixed with bright ribbon and a stud to the wall caressed a rail that circumnavigated the space and neatly consumed you while protecting the loo and sink while you showered. Towels were concealed behind a frosted glass cupboard sunk into the rear shower wall. All perfectly bijou and still relevant, despite being designed in the 1960s. The parrot arrived to advise us where everything was and how it all worked. Clearly, this was a job for the non-inquisitive passenger, who would not have explored the minute they arrived in the cabin. Once we had passed his muster, we were advised we were free to join the bar carriage, and when we returned from dinner that night, he would have our beds ready to enjoy our overnight ride in the train. All drinks and food are currently included in the package, and this made for a jolly atmosphere. There are currently 2 packages on the train, Platinum, we were not this, and Gold. Gold is an all-inclusive package, and according to the staff, the food and drinks are the same in both packages, just their sleeping accommodation differs. Our single passengers had a roomette, but much to their consternation, no ensuite. The elegant antelope on our trip had made a really relevant point about paying extra as a single traveller for second best accommodation. It did seem a bit unfair. One of the staff, a tall peacock from Prague, advised us she had travelled in red service as a backpacker, which was the no-frills side of the train, but this service had long since been dispensed with in favour of the gold and platinum premium paying passengers. As this monster got underway, we let our excitement get the better of us and cheered, raising a glass of whatever we had in our hands to a right good trip and whatever awaited us.